This is Speaking of Speaking, quick tips and tools to take you from stage fright to spotlight. This podcast gives you an inside look from the world of public speaking and the speaking secrets you need to be bold from the stage, no matter what business you're in. The host of Speaking of Speaking, Carl Richards.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, it's another edition of the Speaking of Speaking podcast, and I am blessed to have a very special guest today. Catherine Matisky is referred to as the Maestro of Changing Behavior. She is a globally recognized training expert and the inventor of the globally acclaimed instructional design process, ID9, Intelligent Design. It's an innovative research-based system which has dynamically powered results for over 5 million participants in global brand. Now, in her most recent venture, Catherine has transformed 25 years of industry-leading intelligence into practical, everyday tools. And she's inviting you to unlock your inner genius. We'll be talking about that today. Unlock Inner Genius, Power Your Path to Extraordinary Success. That's her latest book. We'll get all those details later on for you. But let's get the conversation going and say, welcome, Catherine Matisky, to Speaking of Speaking.
Thanks, Carl. Great to be here.
And whereabouts are you located?
I'm in Melbourne, in Australia.
It's fantastic to have you here today. Tell me a little bit about your backstory. How did you get to where you are today? And I don't need the birthing story, but how did you get to where you are today with your journey?
Well, the birthing story is really interesting, Carl, because that's an interesting place to start, but way too long ago. Talking about the birthing story, my dad was an entrepreneur before entrepreneurs were even invented. And so I grew up in an environment where business was discussed across the dinner table. So is it any wonder that I've never really had a real job for a long time? And I grew up in the computer industry, and I started to notice when I was training people on computers that there was these people that were really successful, and then there was a whole lot of people that weren't. And I started to wonder about how people learned, why people were successful, why others weren't, why people were influential, why others weren't. And all of these questions have flooded my mind for 30 years of working. And so they're the sorts of things that I've been trying to put together. And I'm really fortunate that I now work with Fortune 100 companies globally. I do very little work in Australia. Most of my work's in the US and Europe. And I see these people that I refer to as success seekers, and I see the difference in them.
So I want to talk about turbocharging your learning to understand how you collect, process, and communicate information. Seeing as we're talking about information and the amount of information that's out there too, because there is a lot of information out there. So how do you move your learning forward so you are getting the most from it?
Well, the thing is that even though technology has changed and the exchange of information is more rapid now than ever before, the human brain really hasn't changed. And so did you know that humans talk about 150 words a minute, and yet we listen at 450 words a minute? So when people are talking, like I am right now, all of the listeners listening to this are actually capable of about three times of my speaking speed. So what that means is that there's all this space for distraction. Now, in our world today, we are bombarded with opportunities of distraction. So that difference between 150 words a minute of talking and 450 words of listening is readily filled up these days. If you go back 100 years, there wasn't much to distract us at all. But now we're living in this world of distraction. So the concept of taking in information requires a real focus. And so when I look at people that are really successful at this, they have a learning strategy. They know how they learn. And if they know how they learn, then they connect in a whole new way to their family, to their teams, to their groups that they're in, to their work colleagues. They have a better connection. And so this foundational piece of actually sorting out in your own mind, how do I learn? Like, we're taught how to listen. We're taught how to talk. We're taught how to present, but are we ever taught how we actually learn? What's our learning preference? And how do we tap into that? That's where the difference is. And that's where it is in everybody's life. And if we can just unlock that, then that makes a huge world of difference.
I want to go back and just springboard from something that you mentioned here about listening versus the rate at which we speak. We speak at about 150 words a minute, and our listening ability is about 450 words per minute. And you mentioned that, you know, we've been very good in the modern day at filling the void to fill those gaps. Would you say then that perhaps 100, 150 years ago that we listened more attentively because there weren't those distractions, that we would focus on, you know, a speaker or a presenter, or we would be focused differently?
I don't know about 150 years ago, but I know certainly when I started working 30 years ago, you know, it was nothing to go to a five-day training course. It was nothing to sit in a four-hour presentation. That was part of life. And now if I suggested to one of my clients, hey, you're going to go on a five-day training course, they go, seriously? We just don't have that bandwidth. And we're just all expected to do so much more with our time. And whatever your role is, whether you've got your own business or you're working for someone else, there's just this feeling and this perception of, I have so much to do and so little time. And I can't remember feeling like that when I started work. And that was 30 years ago. So I can only imagine what that was like 100 years ago to think, what was it like back then? Because this feeling of overwhelm and disconnection from that meaningful time is so important. And coming into 2022, we're seeing that as super important to really have that connection back again. Because I think we've kind of lost the plot as a human race in that we have to be all things to all people at all time. And I don't think that's sustainable.
In your opinion, have we lost that because we've spent so much time in a virtual world this last couple of years, do you think? We still have all those distractions, obviously, but we've been able to say, okay, well, I don't have to travel as far to have appointments. I can have them in my own house. I can, you know, rather than worrying about taking a lunch break, I can, you know, eat my lunch at my desk. Have we forced ourselves or given ourselves the opportunity to just be overwhelmed by all of that?
I think so for many people, but I think also that's been a relief as well, living in a virtual world, because, you know, we are, you and I right now are on Zoom and we're both in our little containers of this time slot. And so for that part of it, there is actually less distraction because I didn't have to get on a flight to see you. I didn't have to catch a train. I didn't have to do a commute, whatever I had to do. And so there is all of that time. But my question is, what's happened to all that time? What have people done to invest in themselves or take that time and say, you know what, I used to commute an hour to work every day. What have I done with that hour? Where's that hour gone? And so all of a sudden you've gone from what was a 24-hour day to a 25-hour day because you've now saved that hour commute. What have you done with the extra hour? And that's sometimes where people fall short a little bit. So I think there's a great opportunity moving forward, especially as we move forward in this virtual world, which won't go away. Yeah. And so as we move forward to say, okay, how am I really maximizing every opportunity to communicate with somebody else? How do I maximize every connection that I've got? How do I bring people around me to really support me? And to understand that people who are difficult in my life are not necessarily difficult, they're just different to me. So there's all of this kind of thinking around that, and that's really the space that I'm working in now, is to try to navigate through all of that in this very different world to the old world, which was, you know, 2 years ago, let's face it.
It's funny, you know, we look at it and say, oh, the old world was only 2 years ago, but it was really, I mean,
it really was.
And it's amazing how when you even mention, and I'm not sure what it's like where you are in Melbourne, but certainly I know here in Canada, as soon as you mention, oh, we're meeting in person. It's not even the fact that we're meeting in person and are we going to have the necessary personal protective gear on? Is everything going to be sanitized? It's not that. That's, of course, important too. It's more, oh, do I really want to drive that hour or that hour and a half? Where I'm geographically located is about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes from the nation's capital here in Canada. It's not that long a drive. And prior to the pandemic, you wouldn't even think of getting in the car for an hour and a half and driving to a meeting. Now, you might stay overnight. If it was a morning meeting, you might schedule some other appointments. But now, you go, do I really want to drive? Can't we just hold it virtually? So it's amazing the attitude surrounding that, though. That
absolutely.
Almost like a resistance in some ways.
Well, I've got it. I've got it, Carl, because yesterday a client rang me. And she said, oh, Catherine, would you come and facilitate two separate days for us in Sydney? So I'm in Melbourne. And before the pandemic, I was in the US and Europe for 10 and a half months a year. So I was never in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so I've never been in Australia more in my life than I have been during this time. And she said, will you fly to Sydney and facilitate these 2 days for me? I was on the phone with her and I thought, are you insane? Like, I hope she's not listening to this, but I thought, why would you get a group of people from all around Australia to come to Sydney for a conference for a day? And I said to her, have you considered doing it virtually? And she said, oh, I thought we'd have a better experience if it was face-to-face. I said, well, honestly, I said, you know, I'm happy to do it face-to-face, but really my results now have been so much better in a virtual environment. If you want maximum productivity out of these 2 days, then here's my suggestion. And I laid out the plan for the virtual plan. And it was several sessions and people would have some thinking tasks in between and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, that will give you maximum productivity. If you want to get people together for other social reasons, then that's fine. And I just stopped talking. And she went, okay, well, I'll consider that. So that really put it onto her to say, what do you really want out of this? Do you want productivity and do you want to be meeting your goals? Then give it to me in a virtual environment. But if you want to have a lovely social time and go out for dinner and lunch and drinks and whatever, then do it face to face. And it comes back to what I was saying about connection. Like, how do you really connect in your communication to those people, regardless of who they are and regardless of their differences and regardless of where they are? How do you actually forge that connection? And it doesn't really matter if you take a meeting space or, I don't know, if you're a real estate agent running an auction. How do you create that connection with people through your communication? When you've got that, that's 9/10 of the battle won.
So what are some of those tools then that people can start to use that will help them improve the way they learn and communicate, especially as they navigate through the ever-changing world of technology and hybrid versus live? What are some of the tools?
The reason I started this work in Unlocking a Genius was to create a profile tool. And it's online and anyone can take it. And the first step is to really to understand, firstly, how you function. How does your brain function? And maybe you've never thought about that, to say, how do I actually take in information and how do I process it? And that's always been the domain of mumbo jumbo. But what I've done is created a simple profile that you can do online, and that will then tell you basically how you see the world. And then the next step is to say, how do other people around me operate? And realize and be okay that they will be different to you. So if you do the profile and say to begin with your husband, wife, partner does the profile, they'll be different to you. Most likely. It would be very rare that you would have two people in a partnership that would be the same profile. Right. Really rare. And so they're different. So then you say, okay, wow, you use these words, I use these words, I learn this way, you learn that way. Wow, okay. The next thing to say is, how do we actually bridge that gap? How do I communicate in your way? And you know when you talk to someone where they just glaze over and they go, Yeah, they're saying yes on the outside, and you know that inside they're not getting it. If you're the communicator, how can you then do what I call a translation bridge, where you actually communicate in their way? And if I roll all of this up, I've called that your GQ. So you know about IQ, and then there was EQ, emotional intelligence. So I've coined the term of GQ, your genius quotient. And your genius quotient is to firstly know how you operate and then be able to connect into other people, communicate in their way, and then that gives you the great power of influence. So this is a tool that anyone can use. It's easy. It takes you 10 minutes. And then from there, you just have to slow down and go, before I send that email, am I sending this from my way of communicating or is it from their way? Okay, I'll change a few words. Send. Before I present, send. I just did an exercise with a CEO this week. I took one of his video communications that he did and said, okay, give me that. We transcribed it, and then there's 12 archetypes in a genius profile. And I went back to him and I said, you are communicating with 3 out of those 12. So he runs an organization of about 1,000 people. And I said, so you are leaving out about 3/4 of your employees. 3/4 of your employees are not hooking into what you're saying. 3/4 of your employees are going, oh, yeah, that's just a message. 3/4 of your employees are going, yeah, yeah, heard that. We'll do nothing with it. The other quarter, fine. So then I said, give that to us. We will then add to it. We added 106 words to his 10-minute presentation and balanced it for all 12 archetypes.
Wow.
And so this is not a massive change of life. You don't have to go on to a retreat for 30 days. You don't have to go and starve yourself in the middle of some crazy desert retreat. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to lose 50 pounds. You don't have to do anything drastic. You just have to tweak what you're already doing. And he looked at that and he said, that is the biggest piece of gold I've ever been given. He said, I had no idea. And so we just tweaked it. And then I said, right, you've got another one coming up next month. He said, yep. I said, before you present, show me what you're going to do and we'll do it again. And we'll make sure that when you present it, it's balanced. And he went, oh, my goodness, this is like a massive change of life. And so it's about knowing your shortfalls and then going, wow, okay, before I press send, before I speak, before I present, you know, I'll just really make sure I'm connecting with everyone.
You know, you mentioned that you don't have to go on a, you know, sabbatical in the desert. You don't have to walk the road to Santiago to find enlightenment. Let me ask you this question, though, Catherine. By the way, Catherine Matisky is my guest today. How common is it for, you know, CEOs, managers, you know, entrepreneurs, how common is it for us to lose sight of or not be connecting with the majority of the people?
I think it is the norm because learning to communicate in a balanced way where you're not just communicating your way, you're communicating the way everyone learns is a learnt skill. You are not born with that skill because you're born with the skill of talking your way. Mm-hmm. So even professional speakers, when I listen to professional speakers, they're on the platform and I could say, if you did these 3 things, you would have now connected with most of the audience. You've seen those speakers, Carl, in your career that just move 10,000 people at once. They can take people from absolute laughter to tears in a few minutes. They can just execute what they're saying in the most amazing way. It's a learned skill. It does not come naturally. And then people go, oh, aren't they lucky? They're so successful. No, there's no luck in it. It's a learnt skill. And it's a skill that is so accessible. And I've been wound up for 27 years, because I started my company 27 years ago, in big Fortune 100 companies. That's where I've been operating. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to take this whole thing to the everyone market. And that's why I did Unlock Inner Genius, to say this is accessible to everyone. If you're a mum with the teenagers who won't get off the couch, you can communicate to them in a new way. If you're in a relationship with someone that you really don't like anymore, you can change that. I'm not saying that there's a miracle cure, but I'm saying that this is one thing. It's a tool to have in your toolkit. If you're in sales and you go, I'm really not making the grade, try this. Try to communicate in a different way to get to bridge those differences, because it's not commonplace. I see very few people, even professional speakers, trainers, presenters, who make their living from speaking and communicating and sharing their knowledge. Sometimes I think, oh, my goodness, if you just did this sentence in the beginning, people would have gone, oh, wow, I'm intrigued, I'm engaged. And if you wrapped up in this way at the end, wow, oh, yeah, that was the most important point. So it's a learned skill.
You just said something very interesting. It has been my life's work, my modus operandi, whatever you want to call it, that every part of a presentation is important. But if you can't grab them at the beginning and you can't hold them to the end, then all that gobbledygook in the middle, that's your inner genius or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you don't start strong and you don't end strong in the middle, so if you start weak, or you end weak, or you just go, thank you very much, you've been a great audience, that's not going to have them running to the back of the room to buy your book or sign up for your program. And if you start very loosey-goosey, or you know, what's another expression I'm looking for? If you start very weak, if you're almost in an apologetic state, and you've seen speakers like this, not so much the polished ones, but certainly the ones that are, you know, trying to level up, and they start out by saying, thanks for having me today. I'm sorry, I'm not really very prepared. I'm not a public speaker, so I'm just winging it today. And you have no idea how many people I've heard say that when they start a presentation. They've automatically lost the audience.
Exactly. Or they talk about being stuck in traffic, or I'm new to this process, or I have only just learned this, or whatever. There's a piece of learning theory called primacy and recency, and it's a Herman Ebbinghaus, right? And it's primacy and recency is people remember best what they hear first and last. It also works for written communication. So every time you write an email, it's first and last. Every time you have a conversation on the first, first and last, it's a really important, so basic, but that's just one little trigger. It's called primacy and recency. It's a cool little thing,
It's also, you know, you're not in this place of, I'm just waiting for those inspirational moments to hit me and they'll happen when I'm on stage. They do happen occasionally, but they're few and far between. It's by design. You've designed it so that you're starting strong. You're ending strong. Your content is also solid. I mean, let's not dismiss this. This has to be really good too. This can't be garbage, but people will remember the beginning and the end. Those are the two most important things. And I know we've nailed this point and hammered it home quite a bit, but tell me about the book. I know we've touched on some of the points, but it is your latest book, Unlock Inner Genius, Power Your Path to Extraordinary Success. You've mentioned it's for pretty much anyone. How can they get a copy of it? How can anyone listening get a copy of that today?
Well, I can make that available to your listeners, and I can give you a link, which is a link that you can put in your show notes, and you can go to Amazon or anywhere and buy it. That's fine. Or I can make that available for your listeners with a link to get the book. What my motivation is, Carl, is I want this out there. I'm in the Mother Teresa phase of my life, where I just want to give people tools that will help them. And this book will really start to do that. So the book will be available there. The next thing to do is do the profile online, find out who you are, find out your archetype, and then from there start to work with it. We give people tools, reports, all sorts of things once you've done that. And then also, if you want to do that, there's a six-week program called Discover Your Genius Quotient, and that's your GQ, and then that takes you into a deep dive of this whole world. And that book was published on the 1st of September 2021. On the 1st of October, we started a Facebook page on the 1st of November, that Facebook page had 100,000 followers. So
oh my goodness.
Gone off. We've just released a 6-week program. We're taking applications. It's just been a blockbuster. People are saying, where has this been? Well, where it's been is in the hands of really big organizations who have been really successful with it under a different package, and now it's available to everyone. So people are just jumping on it. It's
great. Oh my goodness, Catherine, this is phenomenal. We're going to make sure we post those links in the show notes so people can certainly get the book and then go through those processes that you mentioned. So all of those links will be in the show notes. If people would like to connect with you on a deeper level, if they want to have a conversation with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I'll give you my LinkedIn profile as well. Send me a message on LinkedIn or go via our website. And if you want to have a coffee on Zoom, I will show up and let's have a chat.
Catherine Matiske, what a fantastic conversation. I'm glad we took the time to chat today. Before I let you go, I want to give you the opportunity to just share any final thoughts that you might have.
I think for me, I see the world as a very unequal place in business, in personal relationships, in cultures, in everything. And I think when you really boil it down, Carl, it really comes back to three things. The first thing is people, and people are all just the same. We're all trying to achieve and strive for our same goals. And how do we then connect with each other at that deeper level? And how do we say people who we think are difficult are probably not, they're just different to us? And how do we navigate through life? Because when you really think about it, it doesn't matter whether you are the richest person in the world or the poorest person in the world, it's kind of just the same. And I think those three things, the people aspect, being able to connect and really being able to work through each other's differences, if we could do that, you know, like, is that world peace? I don't think so, but I think that would get us a lot further on in our little circle of influence that we have in our little worlds.
The world would certainly be a better place for sure. Catherine Matiske, it's been a fantastic conversation. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
And remember, get out there and own the platform.
Thanks for listening to the Speaking of Speaking podcast. Fired up about something you heard today? Want to learn more? Be sure to visit carlspeaks.ca. And don't forget to follow Carl on Twitter @CarlRichard72 or join the Facebook group Speaking of Speaking.